It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to an extended edition of Wayne's Comics. This week I thought I'd devote a lot of time to the changes going on in DC Comics since I'm a fan of theirs. And so I'm going to interview Gianluca Glazier and Ian M. Cullen. I'm also going to talk with a friend of mine, David Miller, who's been a frequent guest on this podcast, and we're going to spend a little time talking about the past and the present and the future of DC. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy that. And of course, I'll do my usual looking into the comic shops near you, and I'll review some of the latest comics. So since we've got a big program, let's get to it. Talking with me today is Gianluca Glazier and Ian Cullen, and we do This Week in Comics on the SFP Now podcast as well. So the big news this week, as we were just talking off air, was the DC Comics changes that are on the way. What do you think of them, Gianluca?
From a marketing standpoint, I totally understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. If you follow like the month-to-month sales for Marvel and DC, you know that DC is a distant second behind Marvel. And so they kind of need something to give readers a jolt, get new readers coming in on board. And the one thing that does get a lot of buys is issue ones of the comics. And the reason for doing this kind of thing is I see them kind of trimming the fat, getting rid of some of their less selling items, and kind of reinforcing their main set of titles, which I believe they're relaunching 52 titles with the number one issue. It's interesting. What I hope they don't do, though, is release everything on the same month, because that takes away kind of the impact of this whole deal. Retailers and people are only going to get so many issues, number ones even, in any one month. If they're smart, they'll taper this down. They'll release maybe a set of 10 and a set of 10 and a set of 10. Something of that nature.
Even in the 1980s and 1990s, the sales between Marvel and DC were always pretty even. They roughly had a quarter of the market each. And it's only here over the last perhaps 10 or 20 years that DC have really slipped.
Yeah.
The idea of shaking things up has been something that they've been promoting over at DC for quite a while. This is why Straczynski was doing Superman and Wonder Woman. And the one thing about Wonder Woman that discourages me a little, her costume doesn't look all that different from the one that they gave her recently. So I was a little unhappy with that. But she's got silver instead of gold now. What's interesting, though, over the last couple of days, there's been information from DC where they're saying, don't call it a reboot. It's not a reboot. And the Green Lantern comics, for example, are all going to basically continue on from where they've been. They're shaking it up a little. They're giving the Red Lanterns their own comics. They're getting rid of Emerald Warriors, and they're putting in its place, well, they're going back to the main three that they've had before. So in that sense, that's not really a reboot. That's just a renumbering. Is this kind of a marketing trick, or are they really doing something really significant?
Well, it is a marketing trick, but what they are doing significantly, besides trimming out the titles that they feel aren't going to be selling well, is they're kind of shaking up the creative teams, and they're doing this company-wide. It's kind of like a company relaunch in a way. And it definitely has gotten everybody excited. People are already speculating on what other titles are going to come out and who is going to be involved in them. In that case, it does do its job. This week has just been nothing but DC talk, basically.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of our mutual friends from the old days of Blog Talk Radio, Wayne, Ben J. Grimm, is kicking off about it. And so is his mate, Claude. And they're really pissed off about it. They don't like the idea of rebooting. They don't like the idea of the fact that they're going to make the superheroes look younger. And they're really kicking off about it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. As I read into this, that Justice League, the drawing that we've seen by Jim Lee with the redesigned costumes, that's an origin story. That's supposedly something that we've never seen before. But it may just be in the past. That whole story may be some kind of an old story that happened a long time ago. So that may not be what they're going to look like now is the way that's coming out. And my biggest problem always is they get rid of the pants. You know, Superman doesn't have any red pants anymore. It's all the blue jammies. Just like with Batman, he hasn't had the blue pants. He just had the gray jammies. And I hate that when they do that. But I'm just curious what you guys think about that. If this is just mostly a renumbering, is this that big of a deal?
I could see some titles doing away with certain things that have been done recently. Like, I've heard regarding Wonder Woman that Wonder Woman's now going to have Brian Azzarello and Cliff Chang on board for it. And I've heard that they're going to be undoing some of the stuff that J. Michael's done previously. Much to your lament.
Oh, how terrible. Oh.
But I don't see them just totally starting off on square one. Yeah, I just don't see these things starting from the very beginning in terms of origins. Although if they're launching like maybe a new title, then I could possibly see that. But some of the, like the long-standing books, I don't see them doing too much of a change other than the fact that you are going to have a new artist, new writer on board, which is a big shakeup in itself. It's going to be renumbered number one. Because the other thing, too, is attracting new fans and getting new people on board. And honestly, the problem is that, you know, a fan likes a movie or likes something and wants to read up on, say, Green Arrow or Batman or Aquaman or The Flash or anything like that, they don't know where to start. If the books, you know, like in the 60s or in the 100s, they don't know what a good point is to start. And that's kind of what this thing does to people, is to get new people on board, picking up number one. They know it's going to be a start of a story.
Like I was saying before off air, that's been my problem all along with Green Arrow. I've read a few of the trades with him in. I mean, I've read the Green Arrow, Green Lantern trade, but because it's been an ongoing, I've never really known what's a good starting point to actually, you know, get as a monthly comic. Now I do.
Mm-hmm. That's a problem with long-running series in general, is that you never know when's a good point to jump on board. Like, when's the new story arc in DC Comics?
Mm-hmm. Well, every jumping on point, though, can be a jumping off point, too. I mean, if we renumber everything, everybody says, whoa, I can stop now. I can buy other books instead of DC. I mean, that's the flip side to this. And I'm just uncertain as to how many people are going to jump off as opposed to how many people are going to jump on. You know, it's just, I don't know if the trade's going to be a fair one on that.
Well, come on, you sang out on our Blog Talk radio show. He's threatening to jump off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's going to be very tough to decide, and we will find out as time goes along. But one other thing that bothers me a little bit is that Marvel, back a decade or two now, gave basically their line over to Rob Liefeld, and it was called Heroes Reborn. They completely restarted everything. Liefeld redesigned all their costumes. Everything was to be a brand new start, and because Liefeld was hot at that point, everybody was going to jump on and be new. And again, we see Jim Lee redesigning all the costumes. We have Geoff Johns writing the stuff. And I'm always worried because it took about a year, and then Marvel finally had to say, well, okay, that was just a mistake, and we're going to go back. And I'm just worried. Jim Lee has never been known for one to be able to turn out a book on time. And then one of the criticisms of DC has always been that they can't maintain momentum once they get it. And I just wonder why we think this is somewhat different than what we've seen in the past.
Jim Lee came to the world of DC along with some of the contemporaries that are at DC now from Image Comics. Mm-hmm. In which they were trying to do with Image Comics what they seem to be trying to do now with DC.
I worry about this, you know, to be frank. Justice League, how many issues before Mr. Lee runs behind and we get a B or C lister in there to pick up the art chores, and then he moves on to other projects? Because his responsibility mainly with DC is gaming. You know, although he's a good artist and I enjoy his stuff, he's there to promote games. And how long before the games actually take him back again and we're back to people who are not as good an artist doing these things? Mm-hmm. I don't know, Gianluca, what do you think about that? How long can they sustain this, do you think?
Well, I mean, from the lineup of different people, I can't speak for Justice League how long that's going to run before it gets delayed. But I'm kind of excited over, you know, some of the other people named on some of these titles, like Brian Buccellato and Francis Manapul on Flash, Eric Wallace and Roger Robinson on Mr. Terrific. I think right now what they're doing, I think it's a smart thing to do. I mean, it has people talking and speculating. And I mean, that's a good thing if people are wondering what's up with DC. Again, like I said, come September, we'll really see what's going on. And in the meantime, we're just thinking about what we want to see and what may happen and whatnot. Like I mentioned before, though, the worst thing they could do is to release every single one of these number one, which I believe they're going to do 52 titles. Mm-hmm. If they did it all the same month, I think that's just overkill and it takes away from the impact, you know, and the order numbers that I'm sure they're wanting to see from that.
The book that I'm most looking forward to, because I've always liked the character, but he's always struggled mightily, is Savage Hawkman. The design of the costume looks much more menacing than it has in the past. But I've always liked Hawkman. As we've reported on the site recently, there have been rumors of a Hawkman movie. So I'm glad to see the character. He's always been another character who's somebody else with wings. He's Flash Gordon with wings when he was out in outer space. And then he was Batman with wings when he's on Earth. So I'm always sort of interested to get him his own identity. And Geoff Johns did do that on a pretty good basis, I thought, for a while there. I mean, the guy who carries a mace should be sort of brutal or angry most of the time, and it seemed like that was what they did with him. But as far as the books go, I'm a DC guy, so what they're doing isn't changing what I'm doing. I'm going to continue to buy them. I guess the real question to ask you guys is, and Gianluca, you referred to this a little bit, you're more likely to buy DC now because of this?
Well, I'm more likely to jump on board and grab a particular title, whether it's the Green Lantern or Justice League or even like The Flash, because I'm sure like a lot of people maybe new to comics are probably that way too. Where do you go when a comic book hits 900 issues or 901 issues like Action has? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just tough to figure out where do I start? And this is kind of, I guess, DC's way of giving new fans, which they're trying to attract, you know, a starting point.
That's one thing that I'm a bit disappointed about this whole deal, actually. The fact that two of the comics that they're renumbering are Action and Detective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I personally think they should just leave those as is, because those have been the mainstays of DC comics for years and years. And it's, you know, and it'd be worth just keeping those numbers the way they are, surely for nostalgic purposes, because I don't think as many people read Action as those that would read the main title anyway.
Well, the thing that's interesting to me is that Flower started out with Marvel, and they got up to issue number 13, and they suddenly realized it could be issue number 600 if they put them all together. So Marvel renumbered it back to number 600, and I don't know why DC couldn't do something like that. You know, if they're going to renumber things, why not go with the number that's going to give them the most bang for their buck? So we might see Marvel do that. But the thing I was interested to, Ian, you already have said that you'd buy Green Arrow now because you know where you're going. You'd buy more of the other titles from DC since they're starting with the number one, a place that you know where to jump on from?
Well, the other one that I've been looking at is Aquaman. Mm-hmm. I'm quite interested in seeing what Aquaman is and who he is and what his story is and, you know, what his particular powers are, obviously. Those are two characters that I'd be interested in other than Batman.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Gianluca, which ones would you want to buy out of the bunch?
There's been 11 titles listed so far. Of them, maybe DC Universe Presents number one. It's going to feature Deadman with a story by Paul Jenkins and Bernard Chang. Mm-hmm. Captain Atom number one and Mr. Terrific number one sound interesting. I'm not really huge on superheroes, so the fact that I'm actually going to check these out says something, you know. And and of course, I may go back to Detective Comics, which actually has been pretty good lately, but I just haven't. Again, it's just an issue of where do I start, you know? How far back do I go to with the Scott Snyder Jock run? You know, what issue do I pick up?
What worries me is, let's say 2 years down the road, we suddenly decide we've done this now for 2 years and we've lost some people because continuity. And Marvel faced us with the Ultimate line. They're rebooting their Ultimate line. Are we going to see this on a semi-regular basis where they kind of renumber every once in a while?
That's an interesting thought. I mean, one way people get around these kind of issues of long-running series is to do subtitles for certain books or do like miniseries kind of deals, you know, where you at least know where in the story to go, you know, and what the story is. Maybe something like that may be a long-term problem solver for this once the numbers start accumulating back up again. But again, people have a lot of hesitation with this. I think so far so good. I think it's a smart move on their part to do something radical and to kind of shake things up and get people talking about them, which is what has been happening recently.
Oh, boy, they've gotten that, I'll tell you that. The news is everywhere about it. And the way that they're dribbling out a little here and a little there, you know, we don't know at the time we're recording this, we haven't heard yet the Superman or the Batman families, which are the big groups. And I like the way they described them now as family books. They're the Justice League family. They're the Green Lantern family. They're no longer just the Green Lantern books. They're like, it's a family book, which sort of makes you think, well, gee, I better buy the whole family, you know. And I like the description of that. But I guess, Ian, if you want, why don't we get you in here? What do you think about how this is going? Do you think that DC, do you think it's a good or bad move overall?
I'm torn, to be honest. I think for the long-staying supporters of DC, as in the ones that are fiercely loyal and not necessarily are open-minded about change, it's probably a bad thing because those sort of people are probably going to drop off or they'll threaten to drop off and then they'll buy the comic and think, oh, well, this isn't so bad after all sort of thing. And then there's people like me that are sort of like kind of new to it, looking for a jump-on point. So it actually suits me fine. Mm-hmm. But there's other people that it may not suit.
All right. I'm sure this is a subject that we'll continue to discuss in the future as things keep unfolding. So thanks a lot.
This is Nick Tarabay, Asher, and Spartacus, Gods of the Arena, Spartacus, Blood and Sand, and the new Spartacus as well. And I'm here at SFP Now. Keep listening and keep watching. Thank you so much.
Talking with David Miller, a comics creator who's done such wonderful things as the Avatar, the Futurians, and Writer's Block, among other things. And how are you doing tonight, David?
Oh, doing great. Thanks for having me on, Wayne.
Yeah, you've been the most regular guest we've had on here. I thought I had more people on more regularly, but it hasn't worked out that way.
I think Sam Jones is starting to catch up with me, right?
Sam Johnson, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, he recommended some Marvel stuff to me last week, and I've been looking for people to fill in some of the Marvel gaps with me because I know I'm a DC guy and I need to be able to fill in some of those things. And he gave me some good suggestions, so I'm going to let him know that I'm reading some of the books he suggested. Avengers Academy, Venom are two of the three. I haven't gotten to the Ghost Rider one yet. But so yeah, let's get to the big news first, is that you're releasing Avatar the Futurians in a trade paperback form.
That's right, and I'm very excited about it. Actually, it's being listed right now, I believe, on page 259 of the June previews.
Yep, I saw it.
Thank you. Not only is it collecting the entire Avatar miniseries, but I also got the rights to print for the first time in color one of the last Dave Cockrum short stories they did for the Futurians. So that'll be a nice addition, a nice little Easter egg for the Dave Cockrum Futurian fans.
Did you color it?
It's going to, yes, I am having it colored.
Oh, okay, so you're not doing the coloring, but it is being colored.
Right, and it did have a very brief run printing in another tray, but it was in black and white, and so this will be the first time it'll be in color. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about it, because it's being colored by Arcia Rosegar, who's done a lot of work for Marvel, and he did a great job on issue one, so I know it's going to look real good.
Oh, good. I've already filled out my order form, and that's already ordered, so I'm looking forward to getting it. I liked all the issues of it. I don't know if you're going to get a chance to do more, but I liked what you did with it so far.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, we'll see. You know, this crazy comics, God, there's so just this week, this crazy comics business, not just with what DC announced, but their whole same day and date digital.
Yeah.
I mean, that could fill a whole show.
Yeah, I put a new story up on that on the website. And what they're doing with the first Justice League issue, they're selling it in like a pack of $4.99, and they give you a code that you can go on and download the very first issue digitally as well as get it in paper form.
One of the understandings is that you can either buy the paper for $3.99 or buy the digital, I think, for $3.99, or you can buy them both in a bulk of $4.99, which would make it $2 a piece. Can I say what I see is a problem with this whole thing?
Sure, of course.
And I know I'm coming off as cynical, but I don't think it's going to work as long as you're still trying to have it both ways with print and digital. Because this is the reason. If it's print also, people are going to scan that print edition and put it up on the torrent site so that the savvy people who you want buying it to is just going to find it online for free. So the only way to make money off it is to have a third-party thing like Comicology or their own app, so that you have this app that you can only view it through that. I feel as long as the print still survives, the digital can't work because of the pirates.
Yeah. But the thing that bothers me, too, is if they give out digital versions, I mean, what's to prevent people from taking a digital version and putting that on a torrent?
Yeah, I'm sure the more savvy people could do it. But supposedly the apps are like readers. It's not like just reading a PDF on Acrobat. So that's how you control that, I believe.
Okay.
But I'm sure if someone wants hard enough, they can rip it, you know.
Yeah.
But supposedly, you know, the people that get the subscriptions, they get that app reader mm-hmm. that would only work for the sanctioned DC content.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, because you know, we're embarking on a new era when it comes to reading comics. I mentioned when I was talking to the other folks about the fact that I recently was catching up with Avengers Academy. I was able to download some of the digital versions, and one of the great things about it is that, you know, me being 56 years of age, I need some help looking in at some of the small type occasionally, and I was able to zoom in on it and see it. So that I liked about it. I still have trouble looking at the screen, and I get a lot of people who complain, just like 3D, it gives you a headache to read things on screen sometimes. And I don't know. I can see the next generation doing it, but I don't know whether, you know, our group is going to be as willing or as interested in it as maybe the younger people will be.
Well, what's funny is that the thing that might actually push me to getting an iPad is that its ratio is comic size. That might actually push me so that reading digital comics will seem like a more natural experience mm-hmm. akin to reading paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's already happening with competitors like the BlackBerry tablet. It supports Flash, but I'm sure it has USB ports, which the iPad does not have. So I would probably lean toward that to use what I've already got, if you know what I mean, as far as digital files.
Okay, let's get back to DC, and you were talking about the digital aspects of it. What do you think about the print aspects of it? One of the things I talk with the people about has been, do we want to consider this a really good jumping on point or a jumping off point? As a comics professional, which do you think this is more likely to be for people?
Well, I am a tad baffled by what they're trying to accomplish with this.
Mm-hmm.
DC, for the longest time, seems to have been like, well, if we want more readers, let's make an event, and the same could be said for Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
But to compare it to, say, like the death of Superman, and that was an unplanned event.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of happened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you could say it was one of the more successful events that happened. To me, you got to have two goals to satisfy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to have the goal of exciting the current fan base
mm-hmm.
and pulling in new readers.
Mm-hmm.
So the death of Superman, you excited the current fan base, and people who didn't read comics knew who Superman was.
Mm-hmm.
And they know what death means. And they went, whoa, death killing Superman? You were able to pull in new readers. So I'm looking at this thing. And the downside of this is that I'm seeing what it does the most is excite the current fan base. And I don't really see any new people or casual readers being able to understand it enough to get excited by it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They won't understand what the change or difference is.
So you don't see this as necessarily drawing in new readers as much as making it easier for people who are already reading the books to get them.
Yeah, that's my concern. At first look, I'm seeing that they'll only solve one half of the equation. Now, of that half of the equation, will they be successful in exciting new readers, or will they just end up confusing and disappointing them?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you have your own theories about that, too. I mean, you're reading this stuff, too. It's like, what is the actual payoff? And I think we were talking a little while ago about JLA number one or Justice League number one. Okay, so already you and I are a little confused by it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so imagine, you know, casual comics reader.
Mm-hmm.
And we were also talking about how the setup like conflicts with continuity in other books. I've read online, and there's a ton of theories about this. I'm sure you've seen some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the theories is that when we're peering into Justice League number one, we're actually peering into like an Earth 2
mm-hmm.
or an alternate Earth,
mm-hmm.
and that's how they're going to have their cake and eat it too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all this weird stuff when it's all said and done. Oh, well, that's actually Earth 3 or Earth 4, and your stuff is still right here on Earth 1 that you liked, and that's how they'll have it both ways.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. A couple of things that puzzle me a little is that we're putting out 52 titles now, which, of course, anybody who's read DC Comics over the last couple of years remembers there was a weekly comic by the name of 52. And when the most recent crisis came to an end, they cut to only 52 universes. So the number 52 seems to be a big deal when it comes to DC Comics. a lot of people are saying that's way too many titles to try to promote, but, you know, I'm unsure about that. It's going to depend on how they do it. Are they going to make these characters interesting, believable? And I've seen some of the stuff already. Mr. Terrific's getting his own book. Captain Adams turned in sort of a Dr. Manhattan character. And we're making some of the changes, and we're being more diverse, of course. Yeah, I think Batwoman is going to continue on. They've actually delayed Batwoman so that she can come out as part of this new renumbering. My concern is, and I'm sure you remember, Marvel about like a decade or two back did what they called the Heroes Reborn series. And what they did was they rebooted everything with Rob Liefeld. And I'm kind of concerned that a big event doesn't necessarily translate into long-term readership. My belief is that they need to be consistently good in order to catch Marvel and to go past them. One of the problems DC has had is that they haven't been consistent. They've done stuff, and like for example, Power Girl. They put Palmiotti and Gray on there with Amanda Connor, and for 12 issues, they did a gorgeous job. And then the moment the 12 issues were over, we switched an entire creative team, and we got Judd Winnick and other people doing it. And not to say that was bad, but it wasn't the same. And I think that DC needs to be more concerned about doing long-term thing rather than big, splashy, temporary events.
Yes, sometimes I just can't figure out DC. It's because sometimes they knock it right out of the park. And going back to your whole 52 question, on an average month, does 52 DC comic series come out a month?
I think it's more than that.
Really? Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I would gladly welcome 52 good series. You know? Really, to me, as long as it's good, this is like coming so far out of left field for me and so like a desperate ploy for attention. Think about how many times Marvel has rebooted their universes. I believe it's zero. I mean,
well,
but
Heroes Reborn, they did do that, and that was a reboot. And they had to, a year later, basically pull the whole thing and say, well, that never really happened. That was an alternate universe, and we're not going there anymore.
Yeah, well, I think that was always the case, wasn't it? I mean, they all went into Onslaught, and it wasn't every character. It was like four main titles, and the rest of the Marvel titles are still in. It's like these four characters got shoved over, okay. And we always knew that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember much about that. As long as I've read comics, I can't keep up with all this stuff. And you know me, I'm not that much of a Marvel guy. So I'll trust your judgment on that. Let me run a couple of questions past you. As a comics creator, Jim Lee does not have the best reputation for meeting deadlines. Dan DiDio promised him $10,000 if he could get Batman, the Hush story, out every month for a year. If he could be on schedule. And he did it, and he struggled to do it for the year, but he did get it done. So now he's going to be penciling the Justice League when it comes out. How long do you think it's going to be before we actually have to have a fill-in artist on Justice League?
Well, I'd like to think that, like with Batman, he's been working on this for a long time before the announcement. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think that it's way ahead of schedule, mm-hmm. and probably they've got his end issue figured out. So they know when they're going to end. And I think, like, say, with All-Star Batman and Robin, I think the lateness on that was just as much due to Frank Miller as anything Jim Lee. I think probably Miller was late with the script. So I think if it's planned right, and didn't Lee also do, like, a year's worth of Superman or
yes.
6 months?
He did a portion of it. I don't remember how long it was, but I don't think it was a year. I think you're right, about 6 months.
But still, when it's planned out, it can be done. I think that's the reason why he's been working in management so long, is that he knows he can't do it unless certain situations warrant it. I think a relaunch of Justice League would definitely fall into that umbrella. I think he's old enough now also to know that when he signs on the dotted line as a CEO, or is it Chief Creative Officer, CCO?
No, he's a co-publisher. It's Jeff Johns who's a CCO.
Okay. Well, then, that's even more, is he's not a kid anymore. He knows that when I sign on the dotted line, I got to do whatever it takes, whether it's getting started months in advance or what, but you just can't say, I'm going to do it and then don't. Not like when you were a kid. I don't think you will. As long as it lasts, I think it'll be good.
Since you're an artist, I defer to your judgment. One of the things that I'm really nervous about, Jim Lee is as great as he is, and as much as I like his art, and as popular as he is, whenever he goes to the Baltimore Comic Con, the line is all the way out the building to get his mm-hmm. autograph and stuff like that. The question is, in my mind, can he do it? Can he maintain an ongoing schedule? And if so, see, I'm you talked about being cynical. I'm being cynical at this point when it comes to this. I love his art. I think it's gorgeous. He does a wonderful Batman, which is, of course, my favorite character. I give him 6 months before he's actually off the book.
Well, that's the thing. So let's look at the best case scenario. Mm-hmm. The best case scenario is that he agreed to 6 months, and he delivers on 6 months, mm-hmm. and he delivers on time. But then you get used to him. And then he leaves. And then you got to get someone who, even if he's good, may not be what you want. And that's, I think, both of us at our ages, we still remember when Justice League was done for like 100 issues by Dick Dillon.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what you mean by consistency? Mm-hmm. That's what I thought was consistency, too. I mean, you know, like John Byrne, 5 years or so on X-Men, and, you know, probably about as much on FF, and Sal Buscema on just forever.
Yeah.
That's the kind of consistency we want. These kids these days are like, wow, a whole year of Batman. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. Enough. That's only 12 issues and one story.
See, that amazes me is because, you know, I mean, Kurt Swan, how many decades did Kurt Swan do Superman? You know?
Oh, God.
So, you know, these people know which side the bread is buttered on. They know that if they can turn a comic around every month, they know that they're going to get a certain number of fans. I mean, you know, Kurt Swan's name is still, in my mind, legend. And Jim Lee is somewhat legend, but, you know, his inconsistency is a real black mark against him. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, too, because you're being the artist, what did you think of his redesign of the costumes and the image that we've seen so far? It's supposed to be the cover of Justice League number one.
Honestly, the most I could say was like weirdness for weirdness sake, or just to be like a place marker to say this is where things are different. Except for Wonder Woman, I thought you could actually live with them because everything's being driven by merchandising, you know, bed sheets and underoos. Wonder Woman looked just too far afield from what the mainstream public understands it to be, which once again makes me wonder, is this Earth 3 we're looking at, or Earth 2 not really the sanctioned official Justice League? Right now, it could be anything. And one thing we learned from the Spider-Man clone saga is they're going to write it and wait for a little reader feedback. And then maybe start adjusting the storyline to what the readers say they like or don't like or hope or wish. It's really hard for me to call since I don't sit in on DC Comics, you know, editorial meetings.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the collars?
I don't have a problem with that. I'm more noticing, you know, Superman's briefs missing.
Yeah,
stuff like that. The collars almost makes like it's a uniform, you know, like they're all uniformly of the same team or something. But I will say what I think about Jim Lee is he's not only an artist, but he's a professional, and he's also an executive of a company. And if he says, I will commit to 6 issues, I can guarantee it's going to be 6 issues and it's going to be on time. If I can commit to 2 years, I'd be like, huh? But 6 months to a year, I think he can count on it.
See, we don't know that. This is the thing. I mean, we're speculating at this point. Has he agreed to a certain number of issues? We don't know that. When you and I are talking, we have not yet heard about, and I get a kick out of the family name now. We have Superman family and the Batman family and the Green Lantern family, and it's almost like the mafia kind of stuff. We're all divided up into little families. And I get a kick out of that. I'm just sort of intrigued. We don't know yet Batman and Superman as you and I are talking. So that's going to be an important thing. I do hear that Grant Morrison's going to take over Superman. Based on his All-Star Superman, I'm really looking forward to that. That's the thing that has me the most excited. His All-Star Superman, to me, is still some of the best Superman I've seen in decades. And if he's going to take over at least one of the Superman books, I am looking forward to that tremendously from the writing standpoint. Now, if he can get the same artist back who was on All-Star Superman with him, like Frank Quitely, I think that would be fun.
That might be what will mess up your publishing schedule, though.
Yeah.
It's funny you should mention the name Family.
Mm-hmm.
Which when we were kids, that they did call it a Superman family book, Batman family books. But what I'm afraid of is that family will actually translate into what they used to refer to as editorial fiefdoms, where an editor had, okay, I have control of the Batman books, and they're mine, and I chart that course. And then, yeah, the editor of the Superman books, and I chart that course. The problem is I don't see it having a DC house style or expression when you have everyone can do their own thing, and sometimes they'll bump into each other. It's like not like at Marvel with Stan where he like oversaw all the books, and I know that's a very antiquated statement now. Not like that anymore, although there's still, you know, editor-in-chief at Marvel that still pretty much oversees everything. What gets me is, okay, what happens when someone who's the Justice League family editor where Batman's in has to bump in Batman family editor.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm afraid of, is we go back to the fiefdoms.
Now, what they do in that case is they pull those characters out of Justice League, and this is where I think Justice League has suffered in the past. You take Batman out of Justice League and you give him his own team book like The Outsiders. It just never seems to fly. I mean, as much as I like The Outsiders, he belongs in the Justice League, and I'd really like to see him stay there. But I want to see Justice League being back like when Grant Morrison took it over back in the day when he started up with JLA number one. Those were terrific comics because they had the core strong characters in it, and they were great fun to watch. And Grant Morrison did tremendous, wonderful things like the White Martian story, which is still one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. He had the Big Seven in there. Yeah, no one wants to see second tier. You can have them with them, but you can't replace them. And when you go back to Batman the Outsiders, I think a lot of the problem with that book is that there was Batman and a lot of weak characters.
Yeah.
If Batman like broke off and pulled some of the JLA with him, that would have been something.
Mm-hmm. Well, one last thing I want to talk to you about as a fan, but as a comics creator, and you talked about the fact that Wonder Woman's costume is the one that's the most different. We just went through a Wonder Woman reboot where we got a new costume for her for like a year, and of course it's crashed and burned pretty much. As far as the new costume goes, do you think it's a wise move to reboot? Should they have gone back to the original costume? How many costumes can Wonder Woman have? Granted, she's a woman, and women like to have different outfits. Is this a wise move from an artistic standpoint to give her yet another costume?
It does add to the confusion, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I was thinking just like you. Yet another in the wake. It's not even considered history now. That change is recent memory. Okay, now she's going to get changed again. And her change is severe, where the others are like cosmetic. Mm-hmm. It puts your focus right on that. So, yes, one of those things, this whole initiative that has me scratching my head, I just can't comment on it because all this data seems very conflicting or counterproductive, but we'll see what happens. Like Jim Shooter says, if it's good stories, it'll fly.
Well, the thing that's interesting to me is that the Wonder Woman costume did not go over as well as they thought with the Straczynski reboot business. So I think what's happening is I think they decided, okay, that didn't work. Let's try another costume. And I don't have a problem with her having multiple costumes. I don't know if you had a chance to see Batman, the Brave and the Bold recently. They put the original Wonder Woman, even with the Linda Carter show theme music in the background. I waxed very nostalgic watching it. When it comes to Wonder Woman's costume, I think it's nice to cover up her skin and all that good stuff. But I guess they figured that the Straczynski stuff just didn't take hold. And so as long as that didn't take hold, we may as well do it again and give her another costume.
Again, I just can't comment. I mean, clearly they're reacting and not planning. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to change, hey, I look at the stuff Alex Ross did for Kingdom Come, and he did slight, subtle cosmetic changes that added layers to it. I mean, that loincloth thing. You go back to the skirt even. I mean, there's all kinds of things. You can layer it with armor and still keep the base. Mm-hmm. Why don't we give Alex Ross a shot at this, redesigning this costume? He seems to be well-liked. Mm-hmm. So that's all I can say.
Okay. Well, why don't we switch from David Miller, the comics professional, to David Miller, the fan. Okay, we've got now 52 comics starting at number one. You're on a budget just like everybody else. Are you more likely or less likely to buy the new number ones from DC?
Not all of them. And I know that you have to wait like 4 weeks for the digital copy to go down like half price, like $2, I think. Mm-hmm. Like most people, I'm not a collector. I'm a fan. I'm a reader. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably buy the things that I would have read anyway. Mm-hmm. And maybe if some new stuff like the Captain Atom excites, I might try that. But it will definitely be a juggling of finances and wondering if I want to wait for this or even wait for the trade. But let me ask you something as a fan. This is something I saw actually on another website. And it's one that's more theory and conjecture and speculation.
Which is all we can do at this point.
Right. They're talking about, okay, so DC's coming out with a new look. Okay, so it's young, it's hip, and it's jumping on points. And what they're saying, is there a place in that kind of mission statement for the Justice Society if they are so tied to World War II? And I think that was a very valid question to ask.
You know, my initial reaction is, and I guess I look at it from a 56-year-old perspective, somebody who's read comics ever since I was a kid. As you've been saying, the story is the thing. As long as the stories are good, they may have to do some retooling on Justice Society. And they've been in the process of adding younger characters to the group, so it's more of a, again, we get back to the family concept. I think the Justice Society is a good group of characters. They've lasted as long as they have because they are very profound and interesting characters. The World War II thing, it's like with Captain America. What do we do with Captain America? He's just longer and longer under the ocean in a frozen block of ice. And the thing of it is how long can the human body stand that? And everybody, it's just the same thing with the Justice Society. They made a story one time where they were sort of rejuvenated by one of the villains who was trying to kill them. Actually, we gave them more life force, and that made them appear younger at something. And that's sort of a cop-out in a way. But I like the characters well enough. I don't think that they need to go away. Now, granted, I think you're always going to have to count on somebody like a Geoff Johns. I mean, when Geoff Johns got a hold of the comic, he made that book shine. For a while, it was the number one comic, even in Wizard magazine, who were never liked the Justice Society. And so I think you're right. The story's the thing, that as long as they get somebody good in there. I think Mark Guggenheim's been interesting, but I don't think he's taken hold like Johns did. But you know, if we can't clone Geoff Johns and put him on every single book and have the Geoff Johns company. I mean, Bill William did a nice job for a while, but it's going to be difficult to do these things. A good artist and a good writer are tough to do without. But what do you think? I'll buy it. I'm a DC guy. I will buy Justice Society as long as it comes out, unless it really crashes and burns. What about you? Do you think that the Justice Society is something that we can continue on with?
I think it'll depend on the talent on it. As long as it's good stories, yes. But yeah, it's kind of showing its age, and it just by its very name says that we're the old previous Justice League, and you've got this Justice League here. But along those lines, I was thinking about it while you were talking, and Captain Marvel has been associated with the Justice Society now, and I'm thinking, well, there's another one that I hope gets some play.
Well, the one question that gets me is, are you more likely, less likely to sample a book that you haven't bought in the past, or are you pretty much going to stick with the way it was before?
Like I said, for me, it's going to be a case of budget and talent and my emotional attachment to the title. So Justice League, hey, I'm going to check out a title penciled by Jim Lee, Scott Williams. That's a given. I'm a big Legion of Superheroes fan, so I'm curious, is this going to be the reboot that saves Legion of Superheroes? But if I look at something and I just flip through it and it just doesn't look good, I'm not going to pick it up. Okay, so it's a new number one, but this team is off. It hasn't found its voice. It's not a title I'm interested in, although like Swamp Thing coming back, just because they shroud in mystery how they're going to bring it back. You'd have to like pick it up to see, okay, will this be as good as the Alan Moore stuff or another failure? So I guess the short answer for Wayne is no, I probably won't be buying all 52 issues.
See, I, as a DC person, I will probably sample everything. I'll buy all 52 of them, and I will let them work their magic, whether they will or won't, and go forward based on whether or not they interest me. I've always bought DC, and I'm intrigued what they're going to do with Mr. Terrific. I find Captain Atom kind of intriguing. They got an anthology book again. The anthology books haven't got a lot of history in survival, but it gives you a chance to try characters like Deadman again. I'll probably do that, but I think each person's going to attack this differently. I'll be curious to see how this all turns out, and as we go along, I'm sure, and more information comes out, our opinions might change on these things, but this is kind of where we're at right now.
So is the Mr. Terrific book going to be the current one in Justice Society?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
They're moving more diverse, so that means more black characters. They're going to try and do some other types of characters. Gail Simone's going over to the Fury of Firestorm, which, of course, was the name of the book when he first came out. And she's going to write that instead of the Birds of Prey.
Well, once again, this whole relaunch, I'll call it a relaunch. For some titles, it's a relaunch after a fairly recent relaunch. Think about Teen Titans. Teen Titans still feels kind of new, even though it's been around a while. It seems like, wow, you know, this book, it got relaunched, what, like around like 2002 or something? Mm-hmm. And it's taken this while to like find its voice, and I thought it was very solid. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a case of it ain't broke, don't fix it type thing. Mm-hmm. The creators who touched it in the past, mm-hmm. their work should be honored. Mm-hmm. It seems to be getting a makeover, maybe to look very much like the Young Justice cartoon show, who knows? Mm-hmm. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Okay. It's a good talk with you, Dave. As always, we'll proceed and see how things go. We'll see how right and wrong we are about how things move. Avatar of the Futurians, when is that trade paperback coming out? What month?
It'll ship in August. It's being solicited in your Diamond Previews catalog, so you can make your orders this month.
Cool. And we got a previously not seen in color Dave Cockrum story, so that should be worth the money, too.
Oh, yes. It's a very good one, and I can't wait to see how Arcia finishes coloring it up. I know it's going to look good.
Great, great. Well, good talking with you, David. We'll talk with you more in the future, I'm sure, and we'll see what DC does next.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Wayne.
Okay, thank you.
This is Dave, host of Megapodzilla,
the podcast equivalent to a 100-foot radioactive robot lizard,
but with horn-rimmed glasses and a pocket protector.
That's nerdy. We're on the rampage, laying waste to the geek landscape.
We'll talk movies, TV, comics, toys, video games.
And sometimes we talk turkey.
Don't you mean chicken?
That's right. So check us out at Megapodzilla.com.
We're also available on iTunes and the Zune Marketplace.
Aw, yeah.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled.
It's Wayne's Comic Review.
Dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Okay, let's get to some of the books that came out this week. There were several Flashpoint comics, and each one of them is good. Abensur, the Green Lantern, No Hal Jordan as Green Lantern in the Flashpoint universe. Batman with Thomas Wayne as Batman, I still like that. The Secret Seven, and The World of Flashpoint. All those were great comics. One of the books I think that deserves a lot of attention is the Static Shock Special. It's an homage to Dwight McDuffie, who passed away. I still keenly feel the loss of his passing, so I'm glad to see that book paying him respect. Wonder Woman 611, Phil Hester is doing a good job of picking up the JMS threads and tying them together before we get to the end of Flashpoint. Halcyon number 5 of 5 is the first of several miniseries that came to a conclusion. We've also got Turf number 5 of 5 from Image. Both of those are good books. We've got Ozma of Oz from Marvel. As Sam Johnson recommended to me last week, I've been reading Avengers Academy, and Avengers Academy 14.1 came out. Good book. I recommend if you want to figure out what the book is about, that's a good place to start. I also think Abyss Family Issues number 404 from Red 5 is good. That's, again, another miniseries that comes to an end. The Flash Gordon books are going, and boy, they are going hot and bothered. It's really a good comic to read. There's The Invasion of the Red Sword number 2 and Mercy Wars number 0. So both of those books are definitely worth getting. Several other books that came out, I think, are worth your attention. And those are the ones from Atlas. Grim Ghost number 2, Phoenix number 2, and Wolf number 2. All of those are great comics. There wasn't a lot of books, but what there were was great quality, Pat, the last week. So I hope you're enjoying them. Be sure to pick up those good comics. And it's time to take a peek into the local comic store and see what's new this week. There's a bunch of action figures that are worth paying attention to. Brightest Day, the series number 1 with Aquaman, Deadman, Green Arrow, and Hawkgirl. They're in the stores now. Captain America movie action figure set has arrived. Futurama Talking Bender figure for about $20. I guess if you're a Futurama fan, you gotta have that. There's also G.I. Joe action figures, a Ghostbusters Minimate series 4-box set, Godzilla's 11-inch collectible figure, Thor movie action figures. It's a little late for those. I wish they'd come in sooner. And there's Transformers 3 Basic Human Alliance action figures. T-shirts aplenty this week. There's Blackest Night t-shirts, Flashpoint Flash Symbol t-shirts, Green Lantern movie, the Cores, the Trio, the Oath Snapback cap, a Green Lantern symbol hoodie, you name it, they're out there. There's a Sinestro Core symbol gold t-shirt as well. There's also Spider-Man costume hoodies, Star Wars Boba Fett costume hoodie, and Darth Maul blade lightsabers to go with your clothes, and also a Thor Lightning Tracker adjustable cap, as well as a Thor Oath snap cap. Both of those are about $25, so I guess you've got to like Thor. There are statues that came out, Conan the Barbarian, which is $225, and MODOK, which is $220. There's a Star Trek Enterprise Tholian Web Edition version of the spaceship, and I think people who are Trek fans are going to want that. Whovians are going to want the Doctor Who Frontios DVD, and Time and the Ronnie DVD are out. The fun stuff that's out this week includes the Braggart card game, which is kind of funny. There's the Constructing Green Lantern from Page to Screen hardcover, which is $35. There's a giant-sized X-Men 14-ounce ceramic mug and an Iron Man face ceramic mug that are out. Artists are going to want to get the Photoshop for 3D Artists Softcover Volume 1 Enhance Your 3D Renders. It's a book for about $50, but it sure looks like it's worth buying, so I recommend that. I'm after it myself. There are Tron helmet pewter keychains, Tron light cycle pewter keychains, Tron logo pewter keychains. So there's all kinds of Tron stuff. That movie is not going away. But the fun stuff is always the zombie material, and there's a zombie handbook essential GT Zombies How to Avoid Them hardcover for $14.99. I should have had that at the panel when I was at Balticon over the Memorial Day weekend. We had a kid on how to escape from the zombies, which was kind of a fun panel. And the one I like the best is a zombie target practice t-shirt for $18.95. Boy, if you didn't think zombies were hot, they are now. And those are the things in your local comic book store. Thanks again to David Miller, Gianluca Glazier, and Ian M. Cullen for talking with me about the DC Comics changes. We'll be talking more of that in the future because even now there are changes. While I'm even recording, I've seen stuff about the Batman family and the Superman families are coming. So we'll have plenty to talk about. If you want updates on what's happening with DC Comics, go to scifipulse.net. That's SCIFIPULSE.net. And we'll have all kinds of updates there, including some of the covers that you'll be seeing. But until next time, keep reading your comics.
And so I leave, knowing that a world full of heroes has nothing to fear.